I want to welcome you to the Retro Rogues Live podcast. This is a segment from last week's live video show. The live show is available every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. Simply search for BassGod14, that's BASSGOD14, on either YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. And now, on with the show. All right, so on tonight's show, we're going to start off with the latest episode of Star Trek Picard. We are going to start by talking spoiler-free, so no spoilers here at the beginning. We're just going to talk about general impressions from the show. Please, those of you in the Rogues Gallery, please feel free to chime in, but again, please avoid spoilers at this point, and then when we get into the spoiler talk, you'll see a banner there across the bottom, and it'll say spoilers, and you'll know it's okay to go crazy. And then we have something interesting we're going to actually try out tonight during the spoiler portion of the discussion of Picard. So tell me, Eric, what were your initial impressions of this, the latest episode of Star Trek Picard, Broken Pieces?
Well, what can I say? I always feel like I'm in the same position when it comes to this show. But I'll say this right off the bat. Broken Pieces was a perfect name for this episode. It was absolutely a perfect name because I feel like this is a broken show with broken people, you know what I mean? And it's broke. So once again, I've harped on this quite a bit. The uneven tone of this show is just mind-boggling to me. It is so uneven in both pacing and tone. There were times where I was practically falling asleep during this episode because it was taking so long for anything to happen. I literally think there was only two things in this episode of any consequence, and the rest of it was almost complete and total fluff. Complete and total fluff. My favorite character, Raffi, is very prominent in this episode, so that didn't help. She's very prominent in this episode. Doesn't really do anything, but she's very prominent in this episode. I thought, I'll get into that more in the deep dive, but I thought the way they handled that was just incredibly cheesy and contrived. But yeah, the unevenness of the tone of the show in terms of going from something very serious, very dark or very depressing to just like basically dad joke level humor, is just, it's just so weird to me. And I feel like this is like, these are like stories kind of like almost like just sort of piled on top of each other, and they don't really work, you know, as a cohesive story. But they kind of force it down our throats, anyway, you know, Katie has joined us and she says, hashtag planet Raffi. So yeah, I'm a big Raffi fan, as any of you viewers know. I'm a huge Raffi fan. But yeah, the uneven tone is what really gets to me. Like I said, the pacing I think is weird. I mean, literally not very much happened in this episode, and this episode was almost an hour long. And it's funny because I remember kind of being critical of The Mandalorian because I thought some of the episodes were too short and I felt like I wasn't getting my value. But I'm starting to realize The Mandalorian actually did a much better job, because having this episode could have been 20 minutes to get the pertinent information that you needed. It could have been actually 15 minutes probably, if that. Because so little actually happened, you know, it's a lot of cheesy dialogue. Oh my gosh. One of the lines, jeez, I'll get into that in a spoiler. I mean, cringeworthy dialogue. And Chabon is like a Pulitzer Prize winning author. And it's like, is he really willing? He's really willing to put his name on this crap. You know what I mean? It's like some of the dialogue was so bad. And of course, more cursing. We're back to the cursing. It's too much contemporary stuff. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense to me. I'll get into that in the deep dive. But yeah, I just feel like it's so uneven in tone and pacing. But what do you think, Dave?
I'm of the opinion that I'm officially have decided that unless something really interesting happens soon, I'm probably not going to be back for season two of Picard. I'm pretty much there. I love Star Trek. Very much. It's a very important part of, you know, my childhood, my life, whatever. but this show's about done it for me. I'm looking for ways to cut so I can put more advertising budget into the show. CBS All Access, you might be out of here pretty soon. So this is the episode. Like, there was some stuff with Seven I really enjoyed, but all I could think of is like, why didn't we do some of this stuff maybe a little sooner? Like, you know, and I like Rios. And it was like some of the stuff with him was kind of fun, but overall, I didn't really care for this episode. I mean,
without getting into the spoiler, because we do find out what happened to Rios. We find out basically why he left Starfleet. Now, without telling people what we found out, what did you think of that? What did you think of that scenario? Did you like it? Did you think it was compelling and great, or what?
I thought it was unfortunate and sad. And I didn't quite understand why it went down the way that they described it. Without getting into spoilers, I was just sort of like going, okay, that's why?
I thought it was terrible. I thought it was terrible. And it's another slap to Starfleet and the Federation and all that kind of stuff. We'll get into it in the deep dive, but I was really kind of upset about it. And also the way that it comes out. It's like, that was just so contrived and silly. And again, I'm like saying, you know what? I'm going to 10 minutes now. I think I'm going to keep going down. I'm going to end up like at 5 minutes. We could have had what we needed to know in this episode. We could have gotten in 5 minutes. The way we got it was just like pulling teeth. It was so long. It was so boring. It was so contrived to me. You know what I mean? The pacing problem. Katie says, Siobhan hates Janeway. Don't expect class, because she was the epitome of class. And I know Katie is referring to comments that Siobhan actually made about not really being a fan. I can't remember the way he phrased it exactly, but he basically didn't really like the Janeway Seven dynamic. And he had the gall to say that, you know, because somebody actually kind of pitched him the idea of a Seven spinoff. That's the way I remember the context. Somebody kind of a fan pitched him like the idea of a Seven spinoff with Janeway. And he was all like, yeah, we actually kind of joke half, and he said half joking without the Janeway. You know what I mean? About doing like a Seven spinoff. But yeah, no Janeway, I don't really like her. You know what I mean? So yeah, Katie. And there is not a whole lot of class in this in this episode or any other episode of Picard. Again, the F-bombs, unnecessary, takes me out of the world.
Totally. I hated that. I hated that so much, the way they did that. I mean, hasn't that character technically said that to Picard twice now?
Yeah.
Was it once enough? Do we have to hear that character say that to Picard twice?
And that's like the definition of gratuitous. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you had your little shock moment. Now it's not even shocking. Now it's just stupid. It's just lazy. You know what I mean? It's not even shocking anymore, because we know how she is. We know how this character is. We know how they write now. You know what I mean? We have a couple more comments here. Man of Sand says, directed at Katie, I agree that Kate Mulgrew did a very classy job as Captain Janeway. And I don't disagree. I would say Voyager is actually probably my least favorite classic Trek. In fact, I can say that pretty confidently. It is my least favorite. And Janeway is not one of my favorite characters. But I do think Kate Mulgrew did a great job. I don't think that she's a bad actor or anything like that. And I do think she had a lot of class. And we are lacking that in this show. We really are lacking that in this show. I think she's a great actress. And like I said, I'm not a huge Voyager fan. I actually really like Seven and Tuvok. And I also liked Kes. You know, I also liked Kes quite a bit. But Tuvok's probably my favorite. He's right there with Seven. And I think they're actually very similar. Seven and Tuvok, I think, are actually very similar in a lot of ways. And so those are my favorite characters on Voyager. So we have another, another boo to authority, establishment, and uniformity, AKA Starfleet. Exactly. There was a lot of that in this episode. There was a lot more like Starfleet sucks. They're corrupt. You know what I mean? This is not Gene's Starfleet. This is not Gene's Starfleet. It's just not, it's not Trek. You know, because it's like, that's not what Starfleet's supposed to be about. That's not the way they're supposed to roll, you know? Yeah. And then Katie did kind of clarify what Siobhan said. He said the the dynamic. He said it wasn't compelling. And he said Janeway did nothing for 7 years. That is pretty bold of Siobhan to say something like that. I've mentioned this before. You do not need to crap on what came before you to show how good your thing is now. And I hate it. I hate it when they do that in a franchise, when they try to say the newest thing is the best. Okay. Best is subjective. Okay. But when they try to do that kind of hype and just that lack of respect for the shoulders that they're climbing on top of and standing on, literally standing on as they're making these statements. I don't know. I don't know what he's trying to do. I really don't. It's kind of like Kurtzman, you know, when he went out and said, oh, I never liked Trek. And this is the guy who runs Trek now. I never liked it. I like Star Wars. Just like JJ said that too. I never really liked Trek. I like Star Wars. And you can just see it. I mean, they are deconstructing these characters. They are deconstructing Trek. That's what they're really doing. They are taking it apart and ripping it from the inside out. You know what I mean? Because this doesn't feel Trek. This show does not feel Trek at all. Man of Sand says, I feel that this show is ripping off ideas from other shows. The profanity from Admiral Clancy is probably trying to imitate. And I don't know that. I apologize because I don't watch The Expanse. I don't know that name. Avosarella? It's a character from The Expanse. And I have been told The Expanse is very good. But The Expanse is on Amazon, isn't it, Dave? Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes, I think so. Sorry, my mic was muted.
No problem. By the way, we're starting to get used to that of kind of like, you know, taking our mics off and stuff like that. And but the thing about that is with The Expanse, I don't have Amazon Prime, so I don't have the ability to watch it right now. I've heard it's very, very good. And I don't know, maybe in the future we'll try to tackle that. You know what I mean? As a review or something like that, especially if we get more viewers or listeners that are interested in that. You definitely can send us suggestions about what you think we should watch. And especially if you're like, you feel bad for us because we hate the show, you know, you can be like, hey, maybe you would like this, you know, because that would be nice. It'd be nice to review something that I'm actually enjoying. That would be a lot more fun, you know. But I'm also reviewing stuff that I don't like. You know, I don't have to like it. I look at this as I look at this as like a job. So I think that it's you know, I don't have to like it, but you can always suggest something as far as something that we might want to tackle. And then Dave and I can discuss it.
And I was just gonna say our second topic tonight is something that's a lot of fun. So like our second main feature topic tonight. So And I was just gonna add, I quite like Janeway. I did enjoy her character a lot, she's way more of a classic Star Trek character and a captain than anything we got going on in Picard so far. That's for darn sure. And I ironically have been reflecting on, I'm not terribly dismissive of Voyager. I mean, I liked Voyager. I didn't love Voyager, but Voyager is a far superior Star Trek show compared to Picard.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that at all.
And I'm coming
Voyager
to
still has the Voyager still has the spirit of Trek,
right?
So,
and I'm coming to appreciate Voyager more and more because it seems like we are running from classic Trek, and I'm like going, man, Voyager was that was a pretty good show. I'm actually thinking about revisiting Voyager because Picard has really made me think I need to rethink my opinions on some of these shows. Just so Katie knows, my mom, Jane, is actually in the chat. So I'm going to try and watch my language tonight. But my mom's nickname was actually Admiral Janeway because her name is Jane.
Oh.
She quite liked Voyager back in the day, too. So we've actually got quite a few Voyager fans probably in the chat right now. So
yeah, that's good. I mean, the show does have seven in it. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that's why they're watching it. And then Katie mentioned Janeway and Seven's bond is why she's a fan. Says that they helped me through, they helped me so profoundly as a young woman. The breaking of their bond will make me stop being a fan. And I've actually mentioned to Katie, like on Twitter and stuff like that, because we've had some good exchanges. You know, I'm at the point, it's like, Katie, you do not want Janeway in this show. You know, you do not want Janeway in this show because they will destroy that character. I mean, it seems like that's their mission. You know what I mean? So It's like you don't want your fan. Think of, if you were an Ichev fan or a Hugh fan, look what they did to them. You know what I mean? So, I mean, do you really want your character in this? You know, your favorite character in this? I don't. You know what I mean? I'm happy that William Shatner doesn't seem to have any ambition to be in the show. You know what I mean? Because they'd probably find a way, because, you know, I'm one of those people that doesn't really like the Kirk death. They will find a way to make it worse. You know what I mean? Even if they'll bring him back just to kill him and somehow make it worse. You know what I mean? Than it was in Generations. You know, that's my opinion right now. And then also Man of Stan, as far as suggestions, he said The Expanse and The Witcher are two shows I enjoyed recently. And I think, Dave, we actually did talk about possibly doing The Witcher at some point.
Yes. Yes, we have discussed it. And I think it would be worth definitely visiting. Might be fun to do an episode by episode. You know, we could watch the first episode and see how we feel about it. That would actually be something fun. It would give us something to replace, like, Picard with, like, our opening show thing. You know what I mean? I think it's worth looking into, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Because we have talked about it, so...
And we have someone new that's joined the chat, Ayoko Sato. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. Or Sato, right? Ayoko Sato? Ayoko 15.
It could be Sato.
There's a number in there. All right. Anyway, sorry if I'm butchering your name. Says, I know I'm three episodes behind, but Elnor, to me, is the most Trek to me. He has the same sweet, naive quality like Data, even though he's a killer. Everything else is jaded and bitter. And I would agree with you there. I think he is probably the most optimistic. And it's because of his naivete, you know what I mean? Because he's so naive. I would agree with that. He's probably like the most Trek character. And actually, I guess that's a good segue, because he does do something, you know, you see it right off the bat, right? With his appearance. I think that's a good segue into spoilers. You know what I mean? As far as you know, Elnor's role in this episode. And you think that's a good segue into spoilers, Dave?
Yeah, that's a good segue into spoilers. And I want to welcome our commenter to the Rogues Gallery. Again, just a reminder, we are giving away this original art sketch card tonight on the show for people who comment in the comments or our Rogues Gallery, as we call them. This is an original art sketch card. The art is by me. This is from Arrow Season 4. Until it's official, a little hollow foil there undercover. This is Speedy from Arrow Season 4. I want to welcome you to the Rogues Gallery. Again, please be over the age of 18 and U.S. shipping only, unfortunately, because I have extra paperwork to fill out, and I'm just not into that. I'm not into paperwork.
And that's all to encourage you people to join us, to join the conversation, because we love your comments. We like to respond to your comments. Whatever your opinions, all views are respected here. If you love the show, tell us and tell us why you love the show. Interesting to hear that.
I would be interested to hear it. I really would. And I'm not, you know, like I said, there's been episodes I've enjoyed. And there were things about this episode that I had a little bit of fun with, but overall, I wasn't just a big fan of this particular episode. That's for darn sure. So,
well, let's get into the deep dive. And as we were talking about Elnor, that was sort of like another kind of Trek moment. You know what I mean? Where we had the reintroduction of Seven. Seven came back to the show, and the first thing Elnor does is hug her. You know what I mean? Now, granted, they don't really have a history with each other, but, you know, Elnor being as naive as he is, I kind of bought it. You know what I mean? Because they show that he is very naive and all that kind of thing.
I would say even further, you have to remember that he grew up being raised in that sisterhood, basically that coven, or what do you want to call them, of warrior nuns. So, and because they believe in absolute candor, that might have been genuinely what he was feeling in that moment. And he would not have the same filter or hesitance or whatever, because he considers her a friend, you know, and sort of like, I'm so glad you're here. You know, I mean, I think it totally fits with his character, given his background, in my personal opinion. So
when I was a little bit like, I don't know, I don't know if the word is sad. I don't know exactly what the emotion was, but Seven kind of looks almost disgusted. You know what I mean? That he hugs her. And, you know, on the one hand, yeah, I kind of see like, well, she doesn't really know him that well, but she did just save the guy's life. You know what I mean? And it just kind of shows that jadedness. You know what I mean? It's like, because you can see the you can see the direction that Jerry Ryan was given. Clearly, it was like, yeah, don't act like this is a good thing. You know what I mean? You're too cool for that. I could hear the director's words. You know what I mean? In my head, you know what they were telling her to do, because that's what we got. And it's like, why can't Seven just be nice and give him a smile and all that kind of stuff? You know what I mean? She kind of does. She warms up a little bit. You know what I mean? As she kind of, I think, realizes, you can kind of see the process. Jerry Ryan's a good actor, very good actress. You can kind of see that she kind of does mellow out a little bit. But the first, to me, the very first reaction on her face was almost like disgust. You know, and I like, why is this guy hugging me? You know what I mean? Well, you just saved the guy's life, right? You know, so,
right.
You know, it is what it is. Oh, and and I'm very sorry if I am butchering your name, Yoko. But she actually, participates in the same thread that Katie and I sort of met on, which is the hashtag
All Star Trek
for heroes and icons. And I really appreciate you being here and checking out the show. I've been asking her to check out the show. So I really appreciate it. And I am so sorry if I'm butchering your name. I'm so sorry if I'm butchering your name. But I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're commenting. And we do have a new kind of segment that we're going to be doing with our spoilers. So this is going to be sort of our soft premiere, if you will, of a new concept that we're going to have on the show. And we're going to bring this back periodically, hopefully, once we get the kinks worked out. We may have more panelists with this. But basically what we are introducing is the Rogues Writers Room. OK, so what we're going to be doing as we're going to go through the deep dive of the episode. And then once we're done with some of the deep dive and kind of going over the episode, we're going to actually try to rewrite this episode so it's actually good. All right. That's what we're going to do. All right. That's the plan. And like I said, as we evolve this this new segment, we're going to try to do it with other shows, movies. Hopefully we'll get, you know, additional panelists. We hope to do like a really, we're hoping by the finale to have this kind of tight, and that we can make it a full segment on its own where we just do the Rogues Writers Room. So we're kind of going to introduce that concept tonight. And we do, we'll take your pitches too, because basically the way it's going to be is I'm going to kind of be the studio. So I'm going to set up a few parameters, because it's not anything goes. I'm going to set up a couple parameters as if I'm the studio. Couple rules, there's a couple things we got to accomplish here, and then it's going to be up to us and the viewers. Obviously you can pitch things to us as well. Dave is going to be the showrunner. So Dave, you know, basically Siobhan has been fired, you know, I'm essentially Kurtzman. Okay, I'm going to set up a few rules, and then Dave is going to be the showrunner. So he ultimately has the yes and no power of, yeah, we could do that, we're not going to do that, if we get suggestions. So we'll see how this goes. Again, we're going to kind of introduce this. This is sort of a soft introduction because this is the first time we're trying it. And then we'll get into it as we kind of get past the real deep dive of the spoilers and everything like that.
Very cool. And I actually have served as an editor, and I did used to run my own publishing company. So I am quite familiar with saying, that's a great idea. And I don't know about that.
Yeah. So, and I was the editor on the project we collaborated together. I was the editor on the Occupants comic book tie-in. You were the artist, and I was actually the editor of that project. Yep. That was actually pretty fun, because our director of Occupants, he's the one who ended up writing the script, and he didn't know anything about comics. So it was an interesting process to try to help him figure out comics as opposed to movies. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's a good memory. And but anyway, that's kind of where we're going. And it sounds like we already had. Yep. Manasan already said that he thinks it's a great idea. Rogues Writers Room seems like a stimulating idea. And that's what we're going to be trying to do. Hopefully it will be stimulating and not like a train wreck. But that's the hope, you know. So
very cool.
Bobby Chambers says fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool.
Katie says music to my ears. Siobhan has been fired. That's right. Dave is taking over. He's taking over as showrunner for Star Trek Picard in our writer's room scenario. So let's start with the beginning.
And I'll start off by just saying this again. Unbelievable on Netflix is a fantastic show. Siobhan helped create that, and he wrote quite a few of the episodes. So he is a talented writer.
He's a Pulitzer Prize winning writer.
Don't know where.
Let's get right into it. We're in spoilers. So. Who wrote the line, I'm done murdering people. Who the hell wrote that line? And the delivery was so pathetic. I mean, it was just, that was so cringeworthy. I'm done murdering people. Who wrote that?
I have no idea.
Pulitzer Prize winning writer, you wrote that? You wrote that dialogue?
I have a feeling that might have been a note from someone. I don't know. It was really bad. I'm just saying, I've seen Chabon do some amazing stuff, and this show is not a, I don't know. It's not
good. It's not a good reflection of his writing.
No,
it is not.
No, it is
because
not.
Some
no,
of these not. Lines are terrible. Some of this dialogue is totally awful. The F you. You know what I mean? The F you with Picard. Where does that come from? That same admiral, once again, Picard's in the middle of talking, and she basically tells him to shut the F up.
Yeah.
Who is this admiral? You know what I mean? Like, talk about a lack of class. And this is an admiral. You know what I mean? And she's talking to a retired admiral, you know?
Right. Well, let's do a spoiler talk, because one of the first things I want to do is I want to recast this character with a Legacy Trek character and make it more interesting. That's the first thing I want to do. That's the first thing I wanted to do. I want this lady out of here, and I want us to take some suggestions and see if we can't find somebody better to replace that character, because I'm sick of her. All she does is curse. I'm ready to get her out of here and recast that character. So, somebody else.
Bobby's already given us a pitch, and he says, just so you know, I'm going to try and kill Raffi constantly.
Yeah,
and he says, if Dave doesn't beat me to it.
All right, cool. But so
let's start at the beginning of the episode. So, because we want to go through the episode. So we have another flashback 14 years earlier, and we get to see a little bit more about the Super Tal Shiar, otherwise known as the Zavash, and why they hate synths. To be honest with you, I didn't really even think that was really necessary to really establish. I didn't even think it was really necessary to even go there, but that's what they do. So they tell us what happened with the Zavash, why they hate the synths, which the reason is apparently they went to some planet from some other culture, and they discovered sort of like a memory well, a den of memories, if you will. That you can interact with, I think, by touch. You touch it, and then you get the memories, you get the information from this previous culture. And apparently, it's the way that I took it. It was very Ron Moore, Battlestar Galactica. It was this sort of idea that there's this sort of cycle that civilizations go through, and this society is warning future generations kind of not to make the same mistake they did, which is, of course, they made artificial life. So that's where we're going. We're going straight Battlestar Galactica revival here. So the motivations of the Zavash, otherwise known as the Super Tal Shiar, which is all women, by the way, they're all women, which I didn't understand that. I guess it's supposed to be like the evil version of the Romulan nuns, the warrior nuns, I guess. I don't know. I didn't understand why they were all female, but they're all female and the Zavash. And apparently they did this little stream of consciousness. They interacted with it. And most of them were so horrified by what was revealed, they killed themselves. So that's how that's like our first scene. We see these people graphically killing themselves, shooting themselves in the head. One lady's like literally ripping her own skin off, and the only survivors are, as Katie says, Commodore Ono. That's actually how I remember the name. Katie, thanks for that, by the way. So it's Commodore Ono, and then there's Cersei Romulan. You know, the sister from the Zavash, Cersei Romulan, and the girl that the character that we found earlier that Soji interacted with, which was the Romulan who was crazy because she was one of the last people that the Borg tried to assimilate. And also what apparently this establishes, we find out why the Borg cube broke. And it was because of her, because apparently when they tried to assimilate her, it broke the Borg, which I thought was really stupid. I think that's an incredibly stupid idea. That, you know, it's this idea, I guess, it's like, this thought is so terrible. This vision is so bad. It broke the Borg. It broke the Borg, you know? And I thought that was really, really silly. So these are the only three that survived. I think there were like 12 of them, I want to say. Only the three of them survived and were able to process the information without killing themselves. And of course, now one of the circle of these three, she's gone crazy because the Borg tried to assimilate her and it got all botched. It broke the Borg. It literally broke the cube. So we get past past that. We're back on the ship with Picard and Rios and the gang. And they're trying to kind of catch, you know, bring Picard up to speed because Agnes, right? Is that the scientist girl?
Agnes Girardi. Yep.
Because in the previous episode, she tried to kill herself in part to try to get rid of the tracker. we have a comment. Yeah. Wait, how can you break the Borg? You mean broke the Borg cube or the species? The cube. It's the cube. They've actually said behind the scenes that the Borg are still the Borg. This is just one cube that's broken. So they don't say that in the episode, but the producers have said that off screen, that the Borg are still the Borg. Apparently what happened at Endgame had no actual lasting effect, which I think is, again, maybe that's because Siobhan hates Janeway. You know what I mean? I don't know. But apparently that had no effect. So it's just the one cube that got broken through this process of trying to assimilate this Romulan woman, and it causes the ship to break. So we're back on the ship with Picard. They're trying to bring up to speed about what happened, you know, with Agnes, the fact that she tried to kill herself, and then they suspect that she's a double agent because they found out that she killed Maddox. So they suspect she's a double agent, which of course she is. And Picard is kind of like, you know, disbelieving of that at first. They make Picard so ineffective. It's like his instincts are gone. Like he's always like two steps behind everybody else, and everybody always has to kind of like lead him and drag him to the truth. And in this situation, Raffi, she knows it. She knows exactly what's going on. She's putting it all together, and they have this sort of elaborate contrived process by which Raffi figures out the whole thing about the Zatvash. She figures out that scene that we saw. She somehow figures that out, that basically that's what's going on. And the process by which she does that is so contrived and unbelievable to me. I mean, it's just pure Hollywood garbage. You know what I mean? It's like there's no like even like a little thread of a true investigative technique. And I do know something about that. So I was in public safety for 20 years, and there's not even a hint of realism of how someone would find out all that information. It's just incredibly contrived. Now, while this is happening, Rios has reacted very weird to Soji. He's like, you can tell there's something there. He recognizes her and he basically goes into seclusion. Instead of just telling everybody that he recognizes her, which I thought was just dumb, why wouldn't he just tell everybody, hey, I know you. You know what I mean? I've seen you before. Well, what it turns out is we finally get to find out what happened to Rios' captain and why Rios left Starfleet. And again, it's very contrived because Raffi figures it out by using the different holograms that are basically, that's the broken pieces. They are the broken pieces of Rios, and she's assembling it. And again, it's incredibly contrived. It's incredibly contrived and silly, but Raffi will figure it out. She figures out everything, you know? And so, yeah, I don't like this character. So that's what happens. Eventually they find out what happened with Rios, and the reveal of what happened with Rios is that his captain was sent on a mission to basically make contact with two synths. And one of them was another Soji Dodge, looked exactly like her. And she was with a male synth named Beautiful Flower. Beautiful Flower was the name of the male synth.
Yeah, I didn't
know. Pulitzer Prize winning writer, Beautiful Flower. Okay. So what ended up happening was, of course, Commodore O is already in Starfleet by this time. And instead of like a first contact mission, what she's decided is you need to kill these people. Okay. Because they're synths, and Commodore O is part of the Super Tal Shiar, the Zatvash. So she basically orders the assassination of these two people. And the captain's the one who does it. Doesn't have anybody else do it. And apparently the reason that he did it was because she threatened to basically kill his crew if he didn't do it. Okay. So now, of course, Rios doesn't know this. He doesn't know that Commodore O is Zot Vash. So he just thinks that Starfleet ordered this and it disillusions him, but not before he has it out with his captain, and he makes his captain feel so bad about what he did, his captain kills himself. There's a lot of suicide stuff in this. There was even the line with Agnes where she says, "All I think about is suicide." It's like, apparently that's all these writers think about is suicide. Everybody's committing suicide, you know? Not a topic that should be taken lightly, okay? At all. Don't appreciate that, okay? I've had issues with depression. You know, I still have issues with depression. I don't like the way they're treating that at all, okay? This is just something to throw out there and be shocking for them, you know? And it's not even shocking anymore. It's contrived. You can see it coming a mile away. But apparently the captain killed himself. That disillusioned Rios. Now he finds out kind of the truth. They have that moment where he's like, hey, so maybe, you know, Starfleet's not so bad after all. And of course, Picard has to say, no, they gave in to fear. You know what I mean? We can't even just have that moment where Rios says, you know, Starfleet wasn't that bad. They were infiltrated. That's what happened. It's Commodore O. She's the one that's causing all these problems. Picard's like, no, Starfleet sucks. You know what I mean? I'm surprised he didn't actually say that, you know?
Right, right.
So that's kind of the big reveal there. And then the other thing, of course, is going on is we did have Seven go ahead and rescue Elnor? I always want to say Elrond. Elnor. So she saved him. And what ends up happening there is Seven decides that the only way that she can get rid of the Romulans is to reactivate the Borg. Because apparently most of the Borgs are not XBs. XBs are former Borg. Most of the Borg are still Borg. They're just in stasis because they're harvesting the parts, right? That's what the project's all about. Is they're harvesting
right,
the
and
parts.
And reclaiming those that they can too. So they're not just they're harvesting the parts, but at the same point they're also trying to rehabilitate them. And they're kind of working their way through all of them that are on the queue. But there's quite a few of them that are apparently just in stasis.
Right. So they're still Borg. They're not XBs. That's the difference. So she decides that the only way that she can get rid of the Romulans, which, by the way, I'm kind of sitting there in a way kind of like, how did she get on the ship? And if she got on the ship so easily, why don't they just leave?
Yep.
You can get into a writer's room, too. It's like, why didn't she just leave? But anyway, she decides instead she's going to reactivate the Borg and assume the mantle of Borg Queen on the cube. And I was like, OK, that seems like a really bad plan. But OK, I guess that's where we're going with this. Because she even mentions by doing this, it's very dangerous because she may not want to come back. You know what right. I mean? She may not want to be an individual anymore. She may just become the queen and take over. So she ends up activating the Borg. At first, it doesn't work because the Zot Vash are a step ahead of her and they actually start jettisoning the Borg. They actually start opening the airlocks. I think it's basically they take the shields down because, you know, the Borg cube's damaged. And I'm guessing they just turn the shields off and it sucks the Borg out, which that does make sense. But they're not the Romulans are not able to destroy all the Borg, and the Borg that are left start to rise up. I thought it was really silly because we have another scene where the Cersei Romulan goes ahead and she starts killing more XBs to the point that her gun breaks, which I thought was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. A disruptor and it breaks because she shot a few people. Just to show how many people she killed. She killed so many people, the disruptor broke. That's what that was meant to convey. I can just see it, a mile away, what they're trying to do. And it's just so obvious and it's just so bad.
And
so
I hated that part because we're in spoilers. I hated that part where she was talking to her auntie or whatever. And she made that comment. She's like, I would have made a great Borg. And then she rolled her eyes as she said the line, resistance is futile. I hated that. Don't disrespect one of the coolest lines from one of the greatest Star Trek villains of all time. Don't do that. You know, don't. That line should have been uttered by Seven when she reawoke the Borg and they were going to take the cube back. Or that line, like I suggested last episode, which of course didn't come to be. You know, it would have been nice if Hugh had used that line if they had actually tried to take the Borg cube back from the Romulans. But I really did not like her using that line in that way, because it just really felt, because of the rolling of the eyes, it felt really disrespectful. And I think the writers are
constantly rolling their eyes at Star Trek. That's what I feel like. So these are like their little in jokes to just show, man, this show, how cheesy that was. You know what I mean? Like, they don't like anything, so they're just going to make fun of everything. I feel like that's what they're doing, you know? And, well, so she takes over the Borg cube, right? She takes it over. What I thought was really silly was, in terms of even their own continuity, in the same episode, they killed the XBs with no problem. Okay, they just went in to start shooting them and kill them. They didn't even try to defend themselves. Once they become Borg again, suddenly now they're like zombies. Now they don't have the shields, but now they overwhelm the Zavash. Why didn't she just shoot them again? It's like even their own continuity within the episode doesn't make any sense, because they're not fully Borgified. They don't have the shields. It's very clear they don't have the shields. They just are physically attacking now like zombies, not, you know, just like zombies. That's what the scene reminded me of. They sort of swarm Cersei Romulan, and they basically are able to overwhelm her, and then the Romulans escape in their ships. And that's pretty much all that happens there. Katie had a comment of Her Majesty, 7 of 9, tertiary adjunct of Unimatrix 01, former wife of Chakotay and notorious half-Borg Fenris Ranger from the Delta Quadrant. Did I miss anything? Yeah, so anyway, we get back on the ship. That's where we get the cringeworthy line, because now the Agnes has decided that she killing was bad and murder's wrong, and so she's forgiven. And she has this wonderful moment with Soji where she says, oh, you're thirsty? You get thirsty and you cry? And that's her bonding moment. And now she doesn't want to kill Soji anymore, because that was her mission, was to kill Soji. So now she loves Soji. That was just so unconvincing. I think of my dad being like an engineer, and the questions my dad would ask like an actual android. You know what I mean? And the way that he would act with an actual android, because my dad loved robotics, and it was sort of like a hobby of his as an engineer. And I there's no way he would be doing stupid dialogue like that. You know what I mean? Those are not the questions that he would be asking. And the other thing is, she's biological and she knows that. So she's asking about her being thirsty and she's biological. She's not fully synthetic. She's actually biological. The only thing synthetic is the brain. She has a positronic brain. You know, she's a cyborg, basically. She's not really even like a quote unquote synth. She's a cyborg. It's like Terminator. You know, it's like inside is a robot, but outside it's real flesh. You know what I mean? And she's asking, again, cringeworthy dialogue. And then Soji takes over the ship and decides to go home. And I think that's it, right? That's
pretty much it. Pretty much.
So let's try to fix this mess, Dave.
Well, here, let me throw out a couple things I did like. I kind of liked that bit with Seven where she decided to kind of go like become the queen, like on that cube in that moment in time. I kind of liked that idea, but I just hated the way they executed it, because, you know, if she had reawoken the Borg and the Borg had actually taken that cube back from the Romulans, like when they opened the airlock and they were getting sucked out into space, and that was hard to watch. Yeah. I mean, and it's just because I don't like the way that they're treating classic Trek. I don't like it. I kind of liked that bit with Seven where she decided to kind of go like become the queen, like on that cube in that moment in time. I kind of liked that idea, but I just hated the way they executed it, because, you know, if she had reawoken the Borg and the Borg had actually taken that cube back from the Romulans, like when they opened the airlock and they were getting sucked out into space, and that was hard to watch. Yeah. I mean, and it's just because I don't like the way that they're treating classic Trek. I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Let's go into the writer's room, and how would you have fixed that scene? How would you have fixed that?
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. You need to give us our parameters of what we absolutely have to keep. And I do have one immediate suggestion right off the top, but we'll get into that here in just a second. But go ahead. What are the things we have to absolutely keep?
Well, remember the rules, and also if people want to comment and pitch, remember the rules here, okay? We're coming in at this episode. All the other episodes have been written, shot, they're done. Siobhan has been fired. Dave is now the showrunner. Okay. And now we have to come in and fix the story of this episode. Now, some of the things that we want to kind of look at is, for instance, we have to figure out a motivation for the Zatvash. That's one of our directives here, because that was one of the reveals that we wanted to do, was the motivations of the Zatvash. We have to have 7 of 9, obviously, because, you know, contractual obligations and stuff like that. So we have to use 7 of 9 in this episode, you know. And then I think there was one other kind of, oh, we have to deal with Rios's story. We have to figure out why Rios did what he did, right? I'm trying to think what else were the other big points or reveals in this episode. I think that's about it, right?
Yeah, I think those are probably definitely the high points. So
yeah.
All right. So all of you in the Rogues Gallery, those of you that are watching at home who are not part of the Rogues Gallery, now is your time to chime in. Again, just a reminder, we're doing the contest, original art sketch card. We don't want to dwell on that too much because we want to get right into the writer's room. Okay, so as showrunner, there's two things I want to do right off the top. The very first thing is, because we spent so much time and we have invested so much time in the idea that the Zatvash basically hate the idea of synthetics, and that is kind of their ultimate mission. We've invested so much into that, I think we need to keep that idea. However, here is going to be my wrinkle that I want to introduce into it. So, Eric, if you wouldn't mind sharing my screen.
There you go.
So here is going to be, this is the first thing I want to do as showrunner. We need to establish, you know, this ancient alien race that the Romulans are terrified of. Okay. So here's what I want to do. Okay. So those of you, the original series fans, probably are recognizing Ruk here. From the original series episode. I think it's What Little Girls Are Made Of, if I remember correctly. I might be butchering that title a little bit. He's constantly talking about, in that original series episode, the old one. I wish I could talk better like him. The old one.
Like Lurch, hey, for people that don't know.
Yes.
He's the actor who played Lurch in the Addams Family series.
Such a great character in that original series episode. So what I want to do is I want to take the idea of the old ones, and I want to connect this disparate idea with that ancient alien race. So the ancient alien race that the synthetic, that created the synthetics, that basically, you know, revolted against their masters, you know, and slaughtered them, that they're warning us against. They are the old one from the original series episode. Okay, because what it also means is when we get further into these upcoming episodes, we could actually have more of these synthetics on this planet if we decide to actually go to this planet like they were doing at the end of this episode. So that's what I want to start off with. And the next thing I want to do is I want to hear comments, hopefully from the Rogues Gallery, hopefully people chime in. We got to replace this Admiral character. Okay. Picard does need to call into the Federation because we have got to get Starfleet involved. Okay, we need Starfleet involved. We just have to do that. But we got to replace this Admiral character. We got to get someone who'd be more sympathetic. Someone who would better
understand. Somebody that will actually listen to him, right? Because we know she doesn't listen to him, right? This is following exactly their own rules, their own continuity. We've already established that Picard does not have a good relationship with this woman, and she does not respect him. That's something they established. That's something that the old regime in our scenario already established. So we're actually going to be respectful of that, right? So what's the pitch? What's the pitch, Dave? How do we deal with that?
Okay, so what we need to do is we need an admiral in Starfleet that Picard can call up on the hailing frequencies. So yes, it is Lurch.
The old ones.
Yeah, I love the way that guy talks.
We need
an admiral. We need, and I want it to be a legacy character, because the first thing we're going to do is we're going to course correct this show already right off the bat. We've got an original series connection. That's step one. Step two, we need either like a next gen era. It could be someone even that maybe I'm not thinking of, but we need an admiral. We need someone that Picard could dial up and say, here's what's going on. This other,
Dave,
you know.
I think I know where you're going, but we have somebody that's actually doing a comment, and I thought it was funny because it is related. But they said there are so many bad Trek admirals to choose from. As people are thinking, well, do we bring back one of the other admirals that we've seen in the past? Because
okay.
There are quite a few bad admirals in Star Trek.
Let me
so.
let me go ahead and start throwing some ideas out there. It could be Janeway. Admiral Janeway is something that was established in Nemesis. Okay, it could be Janeway. Yep. She could be the Admiral.
And it was established in Nemesis that Janeway and Picard had a cordial relationship. You know what I mean? That they were like happy to see each other. They clearly knew each other. You got that in the Nemesis scene, that Picard and Janeway probably had some history in terms of maybe being, you know, in training together, or they crossed paths. They knew of each other. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you know, there's a warmth when the two of them are talking on Nemesis, you know?
Another suggestion, if we don't want to go necessarily that direction.
Man of San is with you. He says, I was thinking Janeway. So he's with you on let's put Janeway in there.
Now, my second suggestion would be Shelby. If you remember Shelby from Best of Both Worlds, she was an expert, like in their tactical response they were trying to do with the Borg. She could theoretically be an admiral, you know, maybe only a one-star admiral at this point, but she could be an admiral. She would have a connection
Dave,
to Picard.
I should mention that tonight on Heroes and Icons is the episode for TNG is Family, which means last night's was the second part of the Best of Both Worlds. So especially people that are on the thread that participate in hashtag All Star Trek, we just watched those. I just watched it. I just watched the Best of Both Worlds part one and two, you know, in the last 2 days. And So Shelby is interesting. Shelby is interesting to me because we never seen Shelby come back.
That's right.
And she's also the Borg expert of the Federation. See, this is actual like real continuity here. This is like kind of, you know, it's serendipitous. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, let's bring back Shelby. You know what I mean? Now, are we going to recast her?
No.
We're going to use the same actor, right? Yep. We're going to use the same actor.
So.
And if we did Janeway, we're not going to recast her, are we?
No, of course not.
Of
course, you would never do that.
That's the ultimate thing that Siobhan's going to do. He's going to bring back Janeway, and he's going to recast her.
It's
like Ichab. He did it to Ichab, and he did it to Maddox.
That's true.
Did it to Ichab, and Ichab was a major character. He wasn't a cast, but he was a major reoccurring character, and they just recast him.
But let me just say right now, if I was the showrunner for this show, okay, we would go get the original actress who played Shelby. She would be basically reprising her role, but she would now be an admiral, and she would be the person that Picard would call. Those are my two suggestions.
We got some. You know, pertinent comments here. So we've got for Man of San with Shelby. Okay. He's saying Shelby seemed like a bit of a rival to Riker. And I just watched the episode. You're absolutely right. They had sort of a kind of rough relationship, you know, the two of them, but they had a mutual respect and they ended up working together because that's the Trek way. You get past those differences, right? And then you figure a way to move on, even though you may not really like each other. They can actually work together because they're professionals and because they're evolved human beings. And then Katie mentions, as far as with Janeway, according to Barclay, and I do remember this, according to Barclay, quote, Janeway wrote the book on the Borg. I remember that line. I remember Barclay saying that. So that's also connects with the continuity because Janeway is also a Borg expert. She faced the Borg all alone in the Delta Quadrant. So I think Shelby or Janeway are both great options. And I think we can see why they're good. They're good options, you know. So couple comments about Barclay. Barclay was a sage, absolutely. Actually, I would like to put Barclay in the somewhere. Now that they're talking about Barclay, I'm like, let's put Barclay in here somewhere. that we did have that line from Barclay where he said that Janeway wrote the book on the Borg. Okay.
Right.
So and then there's another pitch of let's make Broccoli Admiral. let's bring back Barclay and have him be the Admiral. that's another pitch there. Not a bad idea. I guess that's our options right now. So we've got Barclay, Janeway, or
as showrunner, we're either, and this is what the showrunner does, as showrunner, because I am the arbiter to make the decision. As long as the studio is okay with the casting, you know, because you know this is their property. I'm
green lighting all those things because I asked you, would we recast them? You said no. I'm cool as long as we bring the original actors. I'm the studio. I say, and it, legacy actors only, we do not recast.
Right. So I think it should be either Janeway or it should be Shelby. And it looks like we have enough people chiming in on Janeway. I think Janeway is probably the way to go.
I think it helps that your mom voted for Janeway too. So
yeah, that's true.
That doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't
so
hurt.
We're going to go with Janeway.
So, Janeway.
We're putting Janeway in for the call for help.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's who Picard will call when he reaches out to Starfleet. So we have we've established that we're still going to go with the ancient, the race that existed way before that created the sense. They are the old ones. That's who they are. Janeway is going to be who Picard calls for help. We on the ship itself, we do have a little bit of kind of house cleaning to do. I vote that unfortunately Agnes passes. She doesn't survive her thing, and
she dies.
She's just gone. I'm sorry. You know that's
I like
how
it.
I feel. I don't know if the Rogues Gallery feels differently, but I think that's going to be her sort of like karmic punishment for killing Maddox.
Yeah,
and betraying.
And
the
we fit
crew.
With the continuity. We're not really screwing anything up. We're just saying you poisoned her. She's dead. She died. She did not survive. Yeah. And by the way, from my perspective, also. Now we have some atonement for her murdering Maddox, okay? Because I do want some morality in my Star Trek. And I don't want someone to get away with murder. And I don't want the line, I'm done murdering people. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't have
she's
that. Dead.
We don't have that.
She's so, dead. She's gone.
Yeah. So she's going to be gone. Raffi's probably going to be in her quarters inebriated. So we probably won't see much of her this episode.
Hey, let's give the actress what she wants. Let's give the actress what she wants. Let's show what addiction is really like. Let's show what a relapse is really like. And she is completely dysfunctional and worthless and can't do anything because she's an addict and she's relapsed. How about that? The actress said that she wanted to show, you know, addiction and all that kind of stuff. Let's just have her. She's really relapsing. We're not just making it a joke. And we showed in a previous episode she did relapse. Okay, so we're following the continuity of the original writers. We're more respectful to them than they are of previous Trek writers, but we're going to respect them. And you know what? She's going to relapse for real. We're going to show what relapse is really like, and she's going to be useless because she's too drunk and high to help them. How about that?
Yeah.
The actress said she wanted to be like a spokesperson for addiction and all that kind of stuff. Let's show addiction. Let's give her what she wanted.
And we can still keep the episode title Broken Pieces, but maybe Rios is trying to get her kind of back together enough and basically prevent her from you know maybe overdosing or whatever and trying to instead of her reaching out to him reaching out to her.
We have a yes by the way on the Maddox death. It says Agnes is bad news. Maddox was her lover. That is important to remember too. Not just any person. Yes to her death. So yeah, we're good on that. We're good on killing her off. And then Bobby, he says overdose and falls into a coma for 10 episodes. Perfect, okay. Bobby. Perfect. She ODs. I like it. Because we saw relapse already. Let's take it a step further. I like that. She ODs. She ODs and now she's in a coma because she overdosed. Let's show addiction. Let's show the real what addiction is really like. Again, the actress said that's what she wanted to do. Let's give her what she wants. She ODs. What do you think? She ODs. You're the showrunner. We're going to have her OD.
That's fine with me. That's fine with me. So we've kind of established that. I like the Rios different hologram thing. I do like that idea. But they're just going to be running the ship while this is happening. So the ship is still kind of on course for somewhere in my mind. And so that's going to continue to go forward. So let's see. So we've got that. So we need to get back to the Borg cube. So what's happening on the Borg cube? We've kind of got.
I want to back up a second for the Rogues Gallery in a comment because I know she only came to the show recently, and she said I don't see all the hate for Raffi. She's not so bad. You said you're three episodes behind, so I don't know if you saw the relapse episode, and that's why I'm so angry with Raffi. I know what addiction is like, and I've been around people that are addicts and all that kind of stuff. And the way they treated the relapse was unforgivable to me because they made it a big joke. And the worst thing, they did the worst message possible in my mind because they showed people relapse, but they can still do their job. That was the worst message I've ever seen. She should have, I said it before, and we can revisit things with the writer's room at some point, you know what I mean? But that scene, I would have had her screw up. That's what I would have done. I just would have had her screw up because she's relapsed. Show what relapse is like. You know what I mean? That's where the Raffi hate comes from here. Okay. And to me, it's a very kind of personal thing. And I take a great personal offense to the way that they treated relapse. I take personal offense to that because they made it a big joke. we have another one about what Katie said, as far as I think they're talking about Agnes. They said, have Seven vaporize her. Should we get Seven on the ship with them, or should she be on the cube?
Well, we're coming to that. We're coming to that. Because I want to take...
All the studio is saying is we have to have Seven in this. That's all I said, yeah, remember?
Yeah. Right, so, yeah. So what I want to do is we need to... So we've established what's happening on the ship. We've got our backstory for the Zatvash, what their deal is. We've got Picard calling for help. Raffi's had a pretty bad relapse because everything's going sideways on everyone. Rios is trying to kind of get to her and get her to come out of the room. And so it's kind of the flip. It's the flip from the episode. Because in the episode, Raffi is trying to kind of console and pull Rios from the edge. But in our version, it's going to be the flip. Rios is trying to pull her back from the edge.
That makes sense. She overdosed. Yeah.
Right.
She's OD'd.
So that, going to that's OD'd. Kind of, right. So that's my thought. That's my thought. And we're going to keep the different versions of Rios running the ship, and they're going to keep us kind of moving forward in terms of like we're trying to get, you know, somewhere. Okay. We have to establish that here in just a moment. Because in my mind, I think we're just headed to the starbase. We're headed to the starbase. I don't think we're going to detour to the synth planet right away. I think we need to go to the starbase first. Because
okay, so we're X-ing that idea from the previous script that we're not going to be heading to the synth planet at this point.
Yes,
we're going to go to what was it? I wish I could remember Deep Space 12 or something. I can't remember which one they said. 12.
I think it was 12.
So we're still going to go. We still have Deep Space 12 or whatever it was, and we're gonna go there. That's the plan to meet up with Janeway and the fleet, right?
Exactly.
Is that the idea?
Exactly.
We're going to meet up with Janeway and the fleet. And so we're going there.
Right. Right. Because
the Soji does not hack the ship or anything like that. Nope. Nothing like that happens.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because we need to get Starfleet involved. We've had quite a bit going on without Starfleet. We've realized that Commander O or Commander O No or Commander Sunglasses, what do you want to call her?
I like the oh no, and that's Katie.
Yeah.
And it helped me remember her name. It helps me because I tell you guys, I'm terrible with names. I'm terrible. And it helps me remember her name. I think Commodore Oh No. And I got that from Katie. So,
yeah. So, and what we're going to have happen here is, you know, basically it's going to be revealed that it's Commander O in league with the Zatvash, that they are a cancer within Starfleet, but that not all of Starfleet is bad. And that's what Janeway is going to show us. Maybe even this.
By the way, the other thing I'm saying is the studio is we do not have to cast them all as females. We can have males in that if you want. You're the showrunner, but I'm giving you permission. If you want to have some males in there or even have it all male as sort of a contrast to the nuns, actually, that's kind of obvious to me. That's just me. I think it's kind of obvious. Well, the one group that we saw before, they're all warrior nuns. Why not have the Zatvash be kind of like monk priests and they're all male? How about that?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm fine with it the way they did it. That didn't bother me so much. And we've got so many already established characters that were a part of it. We're going to keep a lot of those elements because it's just kind of already established. We're not going to delve as much into the Zatvash as they did in my mind. We're going to establish that. They have the threat that they're concerned about is something that we are familiar with as Star Trek fans. But beyond that, we're not delving too much. We got too much other stuff we got to take care of. Okay, so we need to get back to the board.
One of those things, again, we got the gallery. One of those things is just don't mess with Elnor. I would mess up his name. He's the only redeeming thing on the show, and we haven't dealt with Elnor yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're going back to the cube. So basically, Elnor is on the cube. Hugh, unfortunately, is gone. That's unfortunate. So what we need to have happen is he did signal 7. So 7 is going to show up. And we need to establish a way in which 7 actually gets on board. I'm thinking that she gets on board the Borg cube just because of her familiarity with it. She would know how to access the cube in order to just get on board the ship. She shows up. She's like, what is going on here? This thing's under Romulan control. I've received a distress signal from Hugh. We need to find him. So I don't know if I would get, I think we should show her boarding the Borg cube and making her way through.
I would pitch the idea of having her kind of like sneak aboard, like on a freighter or something like that. Cause I don't think it makes any sense that a Fenris Ranger, who clearly are like enemies of the Romulans and all that kind of stuff, can just waltz onto the ship. So I would pitch the idea of having her somehow sneak aboard, where we could establish like maybe a supply ship comes in and I'm giving you the budget. We'll design another ship. I'm giving you the budget. We can design another ship. We can have another ship on the show. And if you want to do that, we can actually bring like a freighter, like a supply ship or something like that. And it's a new design, and you're an artist, you can design it. So you know what I mean? You can design it how you want, and we can kind of show her sneak aboard. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea.
It's a new toy. It's a new toy, by the way.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm the studio. Course. It's a new toy, and I want to sell some toys. So make sure it looks really cool, Dave. Not like some of this other crap that we had to deal on the show before. Let's make it cool, because I want it to be like a cool toy that I can sell.
Right. That makes sense. So 7, I was thinking she would sneak on board the Borg cube, and because of her familiarity with it, just kind of like Hugh showed that he knew how to access things. She has that same kind of knowledge. What they do show in the episode, by the way. So she gets to where Hugh is supposed to be. Elnor is there. However, in our version of the show, Elnor is not cowering. He is still taking out Zot, Vash, and Romulan soldiers. And he's waiting for his reinforcements or his ride to show up. But he's taking people out.
I would like to see him break his sword and take a gun. That's what I would like to see. Just get rid of the sword thing.
Or I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to double down on the sword idea. I'm going to double down. Now let me explain why. Okay. And again, leaning on the previously established episode, we saw him kind of jumping around and kind of using the environment to his advantage. That's what he would be doing. So he's more like a ninja. He's more like an assassin.
So we don't have that terrible scene of the Zot Vash literally charging at him, even though they have disruptors, and engaging him in hand-to-hand combat. It's more like he's sneaking around like an assassin, like a ninja, that kind of a thing. It's not literally these idiots charging at this guy, even though they have guns. Because I absolutely hated that. I thought that was so stupid. Why would these guys with guns charge at a guy with a sword? You know? So what you're saying is we're just going to have him be more stealth instead of a stupid scene like that. He's going to be kind of like creeping around, all that kind of stuff. And then we did another comment. It says, forget male, female. Where are all the Klingons, Ferengi, Bolians? The studio says you can use any of those aliens if you want, Dave. If you want to throw in some Klingons, it will be, I think it should be TNG era, but you're the showrunner, so you can decide this. I'm fine with that. The budget's approved. We can have Klingons, Ferengi, Bolians, whatever you want, if you want to do that. That's approved by the studio. That's up to you, right, obviously, but that's approved. Okay. If we want to put some of those other aliens that we haven't seen. So,
right.
So which actually all the Borg, by the way, being on a Borg cube, you would think it seems like all the Borg in this are you know, all human looking. And it was established, you know, in Voyager that there are Borg that are not, you know, human looking. They're because they're from all sorts of different races. The Borg isn't strictly speaking a race. They are multiple races. Yeah.
So one of the things that we're going to, I do think we should, how do I introduce this idea? Cause I do want to go there. What I think is going to happen. Okay. Unless the Rogues Gallery feels differently. Okay. Elnor is taking out these Romulan soldiers and Zot Vash agents. 7 is there. And basically she either comes up on him while he's finishing someone off, or maybe even he kind of sneaks in behind her and she turns and sees he's there. And then kind of ninja style, he puts his sword back and he's like, I'm glad to see you. Okay. She discovers that unfortunately Hugh has been murdered. And, you know, maybe even, you know, Elnor's actually taken the time to put him on a table and cross his arms and show some respect. Because again, I want Eleanor to be ninja, and he would show a little bit more respect.
No, I like that. I think that's a better way of dealing with the whole sword place thing and all that kind of stuff. I like that idea.
Let me finish real quick, because I want to go there. Okay. So while Seven is having her moment with Hugh, okay, and we realize that obviously they have a connection that maybe we haven't seen, kind of like what they established in the show already. Anyway, Seven's ride is going to show up, okay, because the other Fenris Rangers are going to show up. Because Fenris Rangers implies there's more than one. I know they've been doing this Lone Ranger idea.
It's not the Fenris Ranger. It's actually Rangers, no, plural.
It's Ranger. I think we need to go Rangers. And I like the idea that maybe one of the Fenris Rangers that you know Seven has been working with, and maybe they're a little estranged, is actually Chakotay.
There you go. And we had that comment from Katie here too. She says, "Give me a strong male character." That's what she wants. And she says, "Chakotay, Tom Paris, Worf." Those were some of her ideas. She said, "Should I even say Quark?" She would even be okay with Quark. But I think she would like that idea. That's so one of the Fenris Rangers come, and Chakotay's one of them. Approved from the studio. That's approved from the studio. We can get Beltron. Absolutely, I'm cool with that. As long as we don't recast him. No recasting of Chakotay.
Nope.
No recasting.
No. We want the original actor, and they're estranged. We're not going to find out in this episode what happened before. We're going to deal with that maybe in the next episode. But that's Seven's ride. That's their exit strategy.
I like that. So it turns out Chakotay is one of the Rangers. Like that. I think that's cool, you know?
Now, what's also going to happen, too, is Seven's going to do the thing like she did before, unless the Rogues Gallery feels differently, where she's activating the cube. She is going to activate the cube before they leave. And Chakotay is going to be like, "What are you doing?" And she's going to say, "Resistance is futile." She reactivates all the Borg. And on their way out, they're the distraction for them to escape the Borg cube. And the Borg turn on the Romulans. They don't get a chance to deactivate the shields. They don't get a chance to escape. The Borg reawaken. And basically all the Romulans that are on that ship, some of them do manage to escape because they have ships in orbit like we see before. But the Zat Vash and the Romulans on board that Borg get assimilated. And that's
the Zat Vash on the ship are assimilated. I like that.
They're assimilated. Yeah. Yeah, they don't. It doesn't go down like before.
Man of Sand mentions that Chakotay is also a former Maquis. So he's experienced on that rebel role.
That is exactly why I wanted Chakotay in that role. It totally makes sense for his character. And it would make sense, too, that Seven, with her connection to him, it would make sense that both of them would be Fenris Rangers. And you know what I mean? To me, it just kind of makes sense.
I think fans would absolutely love that. I think fans would really, really like that. You know what I mean? I think that would be a good way to bring him in. You can establish. And I don't think at this point we need to establish whether they're together. I think we should leave that ambiguous. I think we should leave it ambiguous as far as whether they're together or not. We should have some dialogue where it can be taken both ways. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Because I want to leave that. I want to leave that for a future episode. You know what I mean? Where we can just focus on that.
We can have a line of dialogue to establish that they're estranged for some reason, but we're not going to get too into that. It's, you know, because their goal is they're picking up Elnor. They're leaving the Borg cube. And like I said, on the way out, Seven says, "Resistance is futile." The Borg cover their escape because she reawakens them. And that's how they escape the Borg cube.
We have a concern, and I think it's a valid concern, but you're the showrunner. I just want you to be addressed. Now, the concern is Seven wouldn't go for anyone, even Romulans, to get assimilated because it was so traumatic for her. So should we not do the assimilation? Because I think that is a valid point that would Seven consider that kind of like a really ugly thing that even the Zat Vash are not worthy of. So I think that's a legitimate concern. So we're bringing it to the showrunner. We've got somebody on our writing staff that says, "Well, wait a second. Wouldn't Seven have an issue assimilating people, being that it was such a traumatic experience for her? Is there some way we deal with that? What do we say? What do you say, showrunner?"
Well, here's the thing. I want my Seven of Nine expert, Katie, to weigh in. I want to know her opinion on this, number one, since she's here in the writer's room, how she feels about it. I see the objection and I see the concern. My main goal right now is what I want to do is I want to reestablish classic Trek. Okay. So I kind of want the resistance to, you know, okay, here you go. Here's how we do this. Okay. This is a little too comic booky, but I already went there once. Let's go there again. So they're getting ready to escape, and it turns out Hugh's not completely dead, but he's pretty much there. And Seven's like, we have to get off this Borg cube. The Romulans are rallying. What are we going to do?
Hugh's an easy fix. Borg nanoprobes fix everything. So right. We can fix Hugh with Borg nanoprobes.
So possibly instead, if we have an issue with Seven, Hugh is still on his deathbed. He's still going out because we've already established that, unfortunately. So maybe Hugh is the one who uses, because I want the resistance to spew the line, and I want to reestablish the Borg as the major threat.
How about we bring back Hugh, right? Like I said, with the nanoprobes, we heal him. But like you said, he's not healed. He's got a little bit of juice left, if you will. You know what I mean? So he's going to sacrifice himself, right? He's going to sacrifice himself to give him a good death. What's that?
I've got an even better idea. Instead of Seven being the one who reconnects to the cube and becomes the Borg queen, what if it's Hugh instead, and it actually keeps him alive, and we have the first ever Borg king?
That was where I was going with it. Let's put Borg. I mean, put Hugh in the queen's chamber, because that was his plan. That was his plan. So yeah. Let's put him in there. As you said, let's make him the Borg king. And now it's like he's just connected to the ship, because that's the only way to keep him alive. You know what I mean? The only way to keep him alive is to connect him to the ship. Now Seven doesn't have to do any of that. He doesn't have to do any of that stuff.
Right.
He doesn't have to reconnect.
So then the Borg,
he doesn't make that decision.
Right. So, and he reactivates the Borg, but since he's in control of the quote unquote collective, maybe he just has the Borg run cover so that basically Seven, Chakotay, and Elnor and the other Fenris Rangers that are there can basically get out of harm's way. So we can
I would also say, with Hugh now being the Borg king, if you will, and the fact that they killed the XBs in front of him, I think his motivation for assimilating the Zot Vash is better. You know what I mean? I think we can establish a motivation there that he was kind of taking revenge, avenging his fallen former XBs, and he just goes ahead and assimilates the Zot Vash.
Yeah. So,
but now he's stuck on the cube. He's stuck with the cube. That's the only way to keep him alive. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And this is obviously something we can revisit later, because this is an interesting idea. It's a cube that it's his own ecosystem collective. It's not a part of the Borg collective as a whole. It's off on its own. We have Hugh, who may want to go back to the Reclamation Project, even though he is technically plugged into the system. And maybe instead of it being Romulans reclaiming Borg, maybe it's still assimilated. And then the XBs are actually continuing that work. But now it's totally a Borg-run operation. An ex-Borg operation.
There's also a Voyager episode that we can draw off of, which was when they had the cooperative. Do you remember that? The cooperative, which it was former Borg, but they actually reconnected the Matrix, and they were able to control Chakotay. They were able to control him, remember? But they still retain their individuality. So we could go with a scenario like that, too, where it's like they're not fully Borgified. But I personally really like the idea of Hugh being sustained by the ship, and now he's basically the ship. He's part of the ship. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I think that would be cool. That idea, too. And that's the way we can keep the character around. And it's a really interesting, also, too, it's an interesting power play in the later episodes as we build toward the finale. If we feel like we need a major player on the Borg, Hugh can basically show up with the Borg cube, and that militarily, that's a major, major power to bring into any scenario that we find ourselves in. Because it would be interesting since we're taking the show forward, it would be interesting to take all these different disparate ideas of man, machine, whatever, and show them in a different light and actually have them quote unquote, you know, prove that, you know, it doesn't have to always be bad, that it can sometimes be good.
Yeah, absolutely. The scene with Janeway and Picard is going to be inspiring. We're going to get someone that really knows dialogue. It's going to be a really good scene with the two of them. There's going to be warmth there. Everybody's going to be excited about seeing Janeway coming with this fleet. We're going to have a bunch of new ships. Studios approving.
I want to sell toys.
You better make me some kick-ass new Federation ships for the next episode, because we're going to tease that. We're not going to show it in this one. You know what I mean? But for the next one, yeah, we're going to design some kick-ass new Federation ships for Janeway's task force. And then we had another pitch here, which was, let's fix Echev with Borg nanoprobes while we're at it. My suggestion is we will do that, but on a future episode. That's my suggestion.
We will get there.
We will fix Echev. I promise you, we'll fix Echev. But I don't think that's too much for this episode. You know what I mean? That's my opinion. And also, I'm not sure as the studio. I know that we got it. We remember we kind of screwed Manu. So I've got to patch that up. I've got to send some people to him and tell him that we're very sorry. That was the previous regime. You know what I mean? And we got a new showrunner. He wants to bring you on the show. So we got to work on that. Okay. Does it sound feasible, reasonable? We got to work on that and make sure that we treat Manu right, because we kind of screwed him. He might be a little angry at us right now. So we'll fix this, but it's going to have to be a future episode. Right.
Right. Right. Agreed. So what I think should happen is that again, because Picard has been talking with and Seven is aware of what's going on, because that's how she knew to go get Elnor, is because she's actually been following Picard and his crew, and just like she was when she originally showed up, and that we find out that they've actually kind of been working together kind of maybe this whole time. So what we're going to have happen here is that Picard will send a message to Seven. We're heading to Deep Space 12. We're going to rendezvous there. Meet us there. Okay. So we're back on the ship. We need to do a little bit of explanation about what's going on. We need a reason that Rios left Starfleet. So that's kind of our next thing. While he's talking to Raffi, we need a reason that Rios left Starfleet. My initial thought's just going to be that he didn't like the direction that Starfleet was headed in.
The captain did not murder anyone and kill himself or anything like that.
No, I don't think we need to go there.
Now, we do have something established already that the captain did die, and that was a traumatic to Rios, and clearly had some influence on, or actually was the major influence for why he left. So I think what we should do, my pitch would be, is that we have some kind of an accident, you know what I mean, that he was involved with some sort of like a first contact mission or something like that that went wrong. And there were some bad decisions made that Rios felt like, we're not talking about evil intentions. We're not talking about corruption. We're talking about some maybe bad decisions that were made maybe higher up that put the captain in that bad position. And that's why Rios is kind of disillusioned, because that stuff happens. And people sometimes, you know, this is a military organization, essentially. So you're going to have orders that were wrong sometimes, you know what I mean? Because people are fallible. And what I'm thinking, it was more of an issue of like somebody just made a bad decision and it got the captain killed. And that's kind of why Rios is so upset. You know what I mean? Because he knows if the captain had his own way, things would have been okay. But I'm thinking like somebody higher up kind of made a bad call and it got the captain killed.
Well, let's go this way. Okay. Because we've had this suggestion. Where are the other alien races? Where are the Klingons? You know, where are the Bolians? You know, that kind of idea. What if this first contact with the synthetics or the synths that went sideways, what if it was more of a larger UN-style delegation at this first contact? What if they reached out to different alien races and said, we've decided to reveal ourselves. We are the descendants of the old ones. And so we're going to come back. We want to come into the universe and have relations with everyone. And we want to show you that, unlike, you know, our former masters felt, we're not these evil, whatever. And we want to commune, right? We want to commune and we want to reveal ourselves. Okay. So this UN delegation, okay, Rios's captain is maybe he's the head of the Starfleet delegation that's assigned to this mission. Okay. So we have a starship. Okay.
Are we revealing this through a flashback? Is that what we're doing? Are we going to have a scene with Rios in Starfleet?
Yes, of course.
Show his ship. Do you want to show his ship? You need studio approval to show the ship because that's another design.
I would like to. What I want to do is I want to show classic style, you know, updated, maybe some newer designs, kind of here and there. But I want to show some classic Trek ships. I want to show them all coming together. So that when you see this scene and we do the flashback and you see this scene, you've got the ship, the Federation ship with the dun, 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 you know, the Starfleet ship. We get the classic theme, but then we also have the dun, 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 dun. There's the Klingon delegation off. You know what I mean? Like, I want to have classic Trek kind of on display, you know, newer, maybe some new ships here and there, but it's kind of more of a Federation delegation, but maybe there's some other races there too.
Yeah.
Do we think that's a good idea?
The stream kind of went bad for me for a second, so I didn't hear the last part of that past the delegation.
Yeah.
We have the delegation, but I haven't gotten to how is the captain killed, or how what happens to the captain that kind of made Rios, you know, like kind of disillusioned and leave.
Well, here's what happens. Okay, the synths don't only contact, you know, Federation homeworlds like Romulans, Klingons, obviously, you know, Earth, or the Terrans, but they also contact other races and other planets too. So in this same delegation, we have a Romulan, battlecruiser, okay? And it turns out that this is just full of nothing but Zat Vash. And the unfortunate incident that gets Rios' captain killed is sort of a series of bad decisions, and maybe a little bit of hesitation on what we need to do, actually coming from Commander O, okay? And so Commander O is, again, working against everyone, and then we have a whole ship full of nothing but Zat Vash, and it's the Romulans that caused this UN first contact thing to go completely bad, and it costs Rios' captain his life, and maybe the ship gets destroyed. You know, like, the whole thing just goes completely sideways on everyone because the Romulans kind of just, you know, do this thing and it goes bad. It goes really bad. Okay. But Commander O is the one who kind of makes the bad decision that costs Rios's captain his life and also the ship. And maybe even it's one of those things where they look for a scapegoat and they blame Rios. Rios is the scapegoat. Right. And so he gets drummed out of service.
We do have another pitch from the Rogues Gallery. I'm not exactly sure how serious this pitch is, but this is another idea for Rios, completely different direction. Rios did the Jaeger loop with Wesley Crusher and got kicked out of Starfleet.
Well, we want to establish he was in Starfleet for a little while. So maybe that's going too far back. Now you could say that maybe he was in Starfleet with Wesley and he was part of that group. So I don't know if we're going to get into that. That's like the whole Chakotay 7 thing. I don't know if we need to get into that right here, because that's an awful lot of baggage for this episode.
Yeah, I think that might be a little too much. So,
but I'm not going to throw the idea out. But I just think that something could happen later, because I actually do have, if we keep doing this writer's room idea, I do actually have an idea for Wesley.
Right on. And speaking of that, I've actually mentioned to PJ that we're doing this. He's in the chat now. Orville Nation, PJ, he's saying hello. So he's you know, I mentioned this to PJ specifically, that we might include him in a future writer's room segment. So PJ's
for sure,
there. I want to acknowledge you. Anybody in the chat, anybody listening or viewing, Orville Nation on Twitter, YouTube, great channel, great content. PJ has been on the show before. I've been on his show. We got to get Dave on PJ's show at some point. You know what I mean? We're working on that. So, but yeah, we would like to include PJ in a future segment of the Writer's Room. I think this has been pretty fun, actually. And I like some of the comments and some of the ideas that are being, you know, thrown around and everything. And, you know, I think this could be a lot of fun as, you know, continuing this segment.
Yeah, for sure.
And by the way, that was a joke. The Rios,
I know,
the Rios thing.
I do,
the,
But I do have, see, the thing is, though, I do have an idea for Wesley. I do want to revisit that idea, because I have some I have some theories on how we could do something interesting with this. I really do. So anyhow,
PJ says, yes, we need Dave. He's still trying to get you on the show.
I would be happy to be on the show. And the other reason I haven't done it yet, it's just been a question of timing. That's all. It's just a question of timing. Huge fan of Orville Nation. And ironically, I have participated in live streams in the past and been in the chat, kind of like what PJ is right now. Like, I've been in that position, and, you know, I keep bringing up my, you know, suggestion that lady absolutely hated and tried to murder me with. And I was just like, what the heck, man? That's not a bad idea. I'm not gonna pitch that Space 1999 idea here. So.
Different show. Yeah, I guess PJ was actually doing something similar to what we're doing right now, right? That's what you guys were doing, right? It was something similar to what we're doing right now, where people were giving suggestions for, like, future Orville episodes, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so actually, that is relevant. That is relevant to our conversation. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It is. I would say, so anyhow, let's get back to our thing here, because we've still got some more things we want to cover tonight, and we're already 1 hour 42 minutes.
I think we covered the show. I think we did. This was our test run, everybody.
Yeah.
I think we actually did a pretty good job, and I like a lot of the comments that people were making, and I like you guys participating, and I really want to encourage this, and I think we're going to keep it. We're going to keep doing this. We're definitely going to keep doing it for Picard, and we're committed there. So we're gonna keep a writer's room segment for our next Picard. We've got two more Picard reviews left, and I was talking to PJ about it. He may come on for the finale, and we may have like a real writer's room on screen. You know what I mean? Where there's multiple panelists, and we'll get the gallery going, because I think this test run was pretty good. And I hope the audience agrees. I think this test run was pretty good.
I think it's fun too, to be able to throw out ideas and kind of see the show in a different light, because there's so many different choices they could have made. But I like where our show leaves off a little bit better, because our fixed show basically leaves with the Fenris Rangers, you know, 7-inch Chakotay together with Elnor.
I think our episode would have been so exciting, because we've got the Borg cube, we've got the Fenris Rangers, we've got Janeway's task force. Can you imagine how hyped people would be right now with that kind of that cliffhanger? And now they're all going to meet up with the big fight with the Zatvash. You know what I mean? So we've got this massive buildup. You know, we're going to Deep Space 12. We can see what that's like. You know what I mean? We've set up some good stuff. I think we set up some good stuff.
Yeah. You didn't let me hit my high point, though. My high point was going to be, the high point of the episode was going to be where they're looking around. That's like, where's Picard at? And the doors open, and he comes walking out, and he's in his admiral uniform.
Oh, I love it. So instead of him like actually being like a bumbling old fool and not being able to do the controls, he actually does take the controls of the ship and actually works it in the uniform. And now he's in command of the ship. Love it. Yeah. That's because remember, I didn't even get to talk about that scene, how much I hated that, making him, and it's one of those things you can tell. It was almost like somebody should have said, hey, Boomer, you know, to Picard. Like, that's what they were saying when he couldn't operate the ship. Now, I love your idea, because we almost had that moment where he actually is going to take over the ship. He was actually in the command chair. He's like, I don't know how to work this. I'm a dithering old man. I don't know technology. You know what I mean? Okay, Boomer, you know, but I think in our version, I love that idea. He's going to walk. He put on his old uniform. He's taking command of the ship.
Yeah,
I love it. It. And he takes the controls and engage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's how we
got this massive build up now.
Yeah.
Picard's in command. Picard is in command. You know what I mean? Rios is reinvigorated. Rios is like, yes, Admiral. You know what I mean? And he's ready to go. You know what I mean? Because now he knows what happened. You know, and he's reinvigorated now, and they're like back in Starfleet.
But exactly.
You could even have Janeway say, a cool line with that too is Janeway could say, Picard, I'm reactivating you.
Yep.
Put the uniform on. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You're reactivated under authority, blah, blah, blah. You are reactivated.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what and I'm Rios. Thinking. That's what I'm saying. Both of them. So,
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so I think that's good. Actually, for our Picard review, make it so. Very good.
Yeah, make it so.
So I think that's good for our Picard review and actually our trial run, our test run here for the writer's room. Obviously, we hope all of you are going to stay with us as we go on further into the episode here. But definitely, we're going to continue and experiment with this format. I think it was a lot of fun. I think everyone had fun. I hope all of you enjoyed it. And this will be a fun thing to revisit as we kind of do, obviously, the next several episodes, obviously, headed towards the finale of the season of Picard.
I think eventually we can do it on other movies, TV shows. We can have a lot of fun with this segment.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Retro Rogues Live podcast. You can learn more about Eric Alexander and Find the Live Show on either Twitch, YouTube, or Twitter by searching for BassGod14, that's BASSGOD14, on either YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. If you are curious about co-host Dave Beatty, you can see some of his art, find social media links, and so much more at his website, DaveBeatty.com. That's DaveBeatty.com. If you enjoyed this episode of the Retro Rogues Live, be sure to like, share, and subscribe.